Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, 49ers fans? I'm your host, John Chapman, and welcome to the 49ers Rush Podcast. I've got a special treat for you today. I'm continuing kind of my draft tour around all these different podcasts, and I've got a gem for you today. I was able to be a guest on 49 Carats, okay? 49 Carats show. Go check it out. Steph is one of the coolest people I've ever met, and you can just feel her passion and just her friendliness. And as we go through, we're going to go through a lot of edge targets for the 49ers. And man, she is a production guru. You're going to see film work, highlights, all kinds of metrics and stuff. It's really an awesome way to look at all these different prospects. So head over to her channel, 49 Carats. Make sure you give her a subscription, or hit that subscribe button. Let her know 49ers Rush Podcast sent you. But enjoy this. I think you're going to really enjoy this breakdown of D-line targets for the 49ers.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the 49 Carats Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, and I'm very excited for today's episode because I'm joined here by a 49ers YouTube legend, John Chapman himself. He runs an awesome YouTube channel that I think you all should subscribe to. He's host of the 49ers Rush Podcast and CEO of the corporate Cooperative Media Network that's actually responsible for one of the hottest draft parties that are going to be happening in Vegas, right?
That's what I'm talking about, man. I love that intro, Steph. The positivity, I felt it. It's a wonderful. I appreciate you inviting me to come on. And man, it's such a fun time right now for the 49ers, even though we don't have that first round pick. I love draft time.
I love it too. But tell us a little bit about that draft party. Like, if we're a little late to learning about it, could we still get on the guest list, or what's going on with that?
So, like, our whole entire plan was, let's just build the best draft party possible for 49ers fans. So we rented a really posh club on the Strip in Las Vegas, which is going to be an awesome, intimate Niners-only party. We've got Fred Warner, Elijah Mitchell coming out. They're going to be on the podcast. We've got content creators galore. All you have to do is head to 49ersrushroadtrip.com to get your tickets. And we've got different stages of tickets depending on your price point. It's open bar, open food. Everything's covered in your price point. It's one, you pay one thing, raffles, giveaways. I think I have about 20 autographed jerseys we're giving away. We literally are just like, we did too much, but it's going to be a good party. It's going to be a good time. And we're going to be there days one and day two of the draft, covering everything live.
I love it. Well, for any of you guys who have not been to John's away game, what do you call them?
The Rush Road Trip, right? That's the branding trip. Anyway.
Those are lit. So if you guys are able to make it to this draft party, make sure you go and do that. But in this episode, we're going to be talking about defensive linemen and, you know, potential prospects that the 49ers may be looking at. But before we do that, I feel like we really got to look at, you know, the current state of the 49ers defensive line, right? And even today, we learned about a new signing that happened. So the 49ers this offseason, they did lose Arden Key, DJ Jones, Kentavious Street, Julian Taylor. The most notable to me is DJ Jones. I mean, Arden Key was one of those underrated signings that ended up, you know, blossoming under Chris Kocurich. But DJ Jones to me is the biggest loss. And, you know, if we look at the current state of the 49ers defensive line as it stands, they have Nick Bosa, Javon Kinlaw, Eric Armstead, Samson Ebukam, Dee Ford, who is still on the roster, but not expected to be much longer, Charles Amenihu, Kevin Givens, Maurice Hurst, Kerry Hyder, Hassan Ridgeway, Kamoko Ture. Those last three are ones that they've signed, or in Kerry Hyder's case, re-signed this offseason. So what do you think about the current state of this defensive line? There seems to be an emphasis on depth, right?
Yeah, you know, the last year, the 49ers kept 10 on their initial 53-man roster. We're already at 11, and we're not even in the draft yet. And that's not counting Dee Ford. And so there's a lot of depth, and that is one of the things that I think is key. Because if you look at the 2021 year, when Javon Kinlaw got hurt and they had to go to Kentavious Street being a starter, they really suffered. And that's actually the exact same time that Fred Warner's play started to struggle, because he was getting guys pushed back in his lap. That's going to affect middle linebacker play. And so whenever they moved Eric Armstead inside, that's when All-Pro Fred returned. It was because he could finally do his job. And so what they have done is, as you said, Street's gone now, but they brought in Hassan Ridgeway, who, again, just a role guy, just a depth piece, but he's somebody that is very stout against the run that will allow the linebackers to do their thing. So we have a lot of depth. I don't think everybody's going to make it on that. Somebody's going to be the odd man out. Injuries always happen, of course, but yeah, we're stacked. I love the depth. The issue is, and I think the 49ers, and this is what we're going to be focusing most of this episode on, probably, I think they still want to add a stud. The depth is there, but they want a stud.
Yeah, I think so, especially on the edge. I think, you know, we talk about the concerns with Javon Kinlaw, right? He's coming back from injury, which, you know, his knee is something that he has struggled with throughout his career. But I feel like, you know, we're hearing positive things about his rehab, and, you know, take that with a grain of salt, right? It's off season. Everyone is in the best shape of their life, supposedly. But I want to know, like, are you concerned about Javon Kinlaw? Do you think the 49ers are going to be prioritizing, you know, defensive tackle?
I think the DJ Jones loss signifies that, hey, they seem okay with it, right? So if we're going from just the 49ers front office, they seem okay with what's happening. Because if not, you would have brought some other guys in. Yeah, you released and re-signed, you know, Maurice Hurst, but No. Like, it is a Kinlaw issue. And so I think he's going to be all right. You know, one of the things that gives me hope for concern is it's the same surgeon that did Bosa and Jimmy G, who responded very, very well from ACL surgery. So we can hope. The videos that he's been putting out, all those things, again, nobody's going to put out negative information on their injury history. But I feel good. And if for some reason it goes bad, that's going to be problematic, big time problematic.
Yeah, I agree. So I would say the number one need on or want on the defensive line is an edge rusher opposite Nick Bosa. And then the second for the defensive line would be another defensive tackle.
Yeah, run stuffing defensive tackle. That's the thing. We don't the gap penetrating guys, whatever, that's not really what I think they want. Even whenever you go back to the trade of DeForest Buckner, both John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan said repeatedly, we were looking to improve our run defense, which I love DeForest Buckner more than anybody, which I will say this. I did a breakdown today on the new guy we signed, Turi, and, you know, he played for the Colts. So I got to see good old 99 Defo out there making some plays today, which just made me happy. Made me very happy.
Oh yeah, definitely. He's definitely fun to watch at all times. Okay. So, you know, you might know that I've been keeping track of all the visits that the 49ers been
it's having. It's my go-to.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I want to be like the one-stop shop, right? So what you're seeing on the screen here, and sorry, it's a little tiny, but this is what this is a list of confirmed defensive lineman visits that the 49ers have had in this offseason leading up to the draft. And as you can see, it's a pretty extensive list, most of which are going to be the edge rushers. And, you know, there's a couple of defensive tackles there, which I think, you know, aligns with what we were saying. The number one need is edge rusher, and secondary would be nice to have defensive tackle, right?
Right.
So if you guys want to see the full list of, you know, all the people that 49ers have visited with, it's on 49ersgoldmine.com. Make sure to check that out. So we're going to talk about some of the guys that are on this list, but actually the first guy that we're going to talk about is not on the list. And I'm hoping it's because maybe they don't want to tip their hand because, okay, so the first guy we're going to talk about is Arnold Ebiketie. He's a Penn State edge rusher. He is one of my absolute favorites in terms of who I'd like the 49ers to target, or who I'd want them, a player who I would like to fall to 61, right? Because that'd be like a dream come true to me. But, you know, they haven't met with him, and maybe it's just because they don't want teams to know that they are interested in him, just in case, you know, they fall, he falls on their lap. So, okay. And one notable thing, so they haven't had him in for a visit, but guess who was at the Penn State's pro day? Adam Peters.
Yes. And Penn State, they have a lot of guys that are almost perfect 49ers fits offensively and defensively. Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah, so, I mean, a couple of things I like about Ebiketie, like, he wins with hands, he has great bend, and he wins with speed. And I feel like, you know, looking at the fact that Dee Ford is not going to be with this team much longer, if at all, this year, that is something that I think worked well when Dee Ford was healthy. His speed, along with, like, what Nick Bosa brings, was the perfect combination for that defensive line, and it really opened everything up for everyone. So I feel like speed on the opposite end of Bosa is something that they will like to target, and I feel like Ebiketie is a perfect player for that. And you see here, as far as, like, his hand usage, his motor, that is in the elite category. Sorry for the people who are listening through audio, you might not see what we're looking at.
We're seeing a lot of green and blue, and those are good things.
which is good. So basically, it just has a list of, you know, how he performed in the combine and pro day and whatnot. And he's off the charts pretty much. So what do you think about him? And I mean, do you think he makes it out of the first round?
I maybe out of the first round. Now, he's a top 40 player for me on my big board. So I love what he brings to the game. And one of the reasons why, okay, I can play both sides. One of the reasons why he might fall is because he's not a complete defensive lineman. He's not your prototypical, you know, three down defensive end. Exactly as you said, he is that speed, high end motor off the edge
Born
guy.
And Debo did.
And oh, look at that. We even got a video. Oh, what's up? I love it. I love it. This is incredible. I love your production, man. You are killing it, Steph.
Right on, man.
But, you know, one thing I will say about it, this guy, oh, I freaking love this, man. This is awesome. Got the clips going and everything. He played wide receiver in high school, and it translates. Yeah. Like, this dude is just a burner.
Athletic as hell. And you'll see from, like, some of the – and sorry, some of these clips were supposed to be preloaded. I uploaded the wrong one. I had to do it on the fly here. But, I mean, you can see in some of these clips that we're showing, I mean, he's just quick. He'll be 24 years old as a rookie. Does that somewhat concern you a bit? I mean, I know the age thing sometimes goes into account for teams that are making, like, a big investment on these players in terms of, like, draft picks. So what do you think about that, him being 24 years old?
It, you know, he transferred from Temple to Penn State, and so you had the year out and all that stuff, plus the fifth year because of COVID. Everybody got that extra year. This is just another one of those things that could push him down the draft board. Does he make it to 61? I don't think there's any way possible. Now, the 49ers do have 9 picks this year and 11 picks next year slated. So it's not like they can move up, and we've seen Kyle be impatient. You remember the year where we didn't have a second or third rounder? We still traded up. And we have Brandon IU. Like, so it's not like this front office is scared to push the chips in. And so, again, back to the 24-year-old thing, 49ers have a relatively, not necessarily a win-now mold, but we were in the NFC Championship last year. So the age is going to be a little bit less of a concern for somebody like us, a little bit more of a concern for somebody like Detroit or Seattle, a team that's completely rebuilding. A slight dig there against Seattle. Just wanted to put that in there.
Oh, that's a good point. So it feels like that wouldn't be something that would scare the 49ers away. And honestly, I don't think that it should. Moving on to our next defensive line prospect. Now, this player was on the list of players who the 49ers have met with, and that is Western Kentucky defensive end, D'Angelo Malone. And as you can see, we are showing his relative athletic score. There's a lot of green, and that is good. His overall score is 9.03. He's just very athletic. He's a beast, man. And he participated in the Senior Bowl, and I'll actually throw up some clips of that in a sec. And he was named MVP for his team on the Senior Bowl. So I think that says a lot about, you know, who he is, not just as a player, but, you know, maybe as a leader as well. Brad has also mentioned that Brad of the SF Niners, if you guys don't know, he has mentioned that he Malone reminds him of Brian Burns. And if you guys have been following Brad's content this offseason, he loves Brian Burns. So
did you know that you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks? You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And here's what's great. You can get action on sports on more than 30 different states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. On top of that, you got playoff basketball actions on the horizon, and this is the best place to take advantage of all of basketball's postseason actions. Some of these player props: Nikolai Jokic for over 10 rebounds, Anthony Davis more than 2 blocks, Lillard, 4 three-pointers made. You get to pick exactly how you want to use your bets. So, download the app today. Use code 49ers49ERS for a deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code 49ers for a first deposit match up to $100 over on Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
If you care about security and convenience, you need Eufy Video Lock. Let's just say you're sitting on the couch and you want to lock the door and you don't want to get up. Got you covered. You're wondering who's visited your house while you're away from home? Done. You want video that's stored on your device without a monthly fee? Eufy Video Lock has everything that you need. On top of that, it's easy to install. You don't have to drill anything. All you need is a Phillips screwdriver. That's it. Keyless entry, fingerprint recognition, no battery anxiety, and they have 24/7 customer support on standby for you whenever you need it. So, if you haven't yet, go to Eufy Video Lock. You can Google it. You can check out the videos and all those things. That is EUFY Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. That's Eufy Video Lock.
What do you think about D'Angelo Malone? And I mean, what sticks out to you the most?
It's pick your favorite thing. Okay. So he's got 34 career starts. He's got elite production. I'm sorry, 34 career sacks. He's got elite production. The speed, he is a little bit undersized. You know, my comp for him, the athletic profile comp, the comparable that I gave was Dee Ford. That they match up very, very similar. Now, he doesn't have the same top end speed that Dee Ford had, just testing wise, but the tape shows it. Like, he has it. Now, you could talk about, okay, it's Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers, what's the level of competition he's used to? But this dude, he just fits. He fits exactly what you set this episode up as. Man, we've saw for 8 games what Dee Ford and Nick Bosa can do. And this guy's he's a Dee Ford light. You know, another comparable that I had for him was Jeremiah Tachu, who the 49ers brought in as well. But with way more speed. So similar play style, but with way more speed. So the one issue I have with this game is there's no power to it too much. He can't get moved around a little bit in the run game. But, I mean, you watch these reps at the Senior Bowl that you just threw up there. Like, he's got power. It's just I didn't see it enough on film in the run game. But again, that's not why you're drafting him, right? And that's not what the 49ers need from him. He has what we need. And the fact that they met with him, man, if that's somebody that does fall, I think 61 is about where he should go. I have him going probably 50, 60, 70s. So is that a trade up guy? I don't think so. Is he there at 61? For sure. But man, maybe even jump up in the third round to get him if he does fall. This is a deep edge class.
It really is. And that's what's the most exciting, because like it happens every year that like there's a position that there's a run on in the first round, and then naturally there's other positions that kind of just get pushed out of the first round. And so you end up with some like first round talent in the first half of the second round. And I think that's really exciting for the 49ers. I hope that some edge rushers are on their lap when they pick at 61. You mentioned the speed that Malone has and how that's comparable to Dee Ford. He ran a 4.5640. And you also mentioned that you don't see a lot of, you know, power, at least in run defense. And, you know, that's okay, like you mentioned as well. Because, I mean, Dee Ford, when we think about the role that he had, he was really, you know, just in on those obvious passing downs. And so I feel like for someone who they want to take over that Dee Ford role, they'll probably be looking for something similar. So I think that Malone has it. And, you know, if that's something they want to go to, I'd be, you know, very excited if they drafted him.
And I could tell, like, whenever you're watching edge film, which, like, you're going through, again, I always recommend highlights are wonderful. One of my draft axioms is, like, watching the highlights of a player is, like, reading somebody's dating profile that they made for themselves. But watching the game film, that's like interviewing all their exes. You're going to figure out all the dirt. You're going to figure out all those things. So, like, highlights are great, and I watch highlights. And that's a good way to find the ceiling of a player. But if you want to know what their game in is going to be, you watch the film. And so when you're watching these edge guys, if I'm bored watching a defensive end, there's a problem. You don't get bored with this guy. He is so entertaining, D'Angelo Malone. Oh, what's up, Melissa? I love it.
Yeah, Melissa, friend of the pod. She tunes in pretty often. What's up, Melissa? Also, Sketchy. Ooh, that's
oh, Shot J. Shot J.
Shot J. I was like, that's a tough one. If you've never watched 49 Carats podcast before, I am the best at butchering names. So sorry, Shot J. Yeah, but we could move on to the next prospect here. And this is someone who, you know, you actually just recently did a film breakdown for on your YouTube channel, which I'll show the clip here in a bit. South Carolina defensive end Kingsley Inogbare, he goes by JJ sometimes, so you might hear him referred to as JJ. But Inogbare, I mean, we're looking at his RAS once again, and you can see there's more yellow compared to the other prospects we were just talking about. But I think when you look at his film, like the athleticism, you know, he's still a really strong option for the 49ers and probably another player who has a good chance of being there at the top of the second or, you know, maybe even later. You can see here what he tested the best out was his vertical 36.5. So what are your thoughts on Inogbare and how would he fit with the 49ers and what they do?
Well, he's from South Carolina, which the 49ers love South Carolina guys. And even more than that, he could have came out in the draft last year and been probably a third round pick. And so he bet on himself. And also he changed his number from 52 to 1. Same thing Debo did, same thing that JC Horn did the year before him. So like it shows you how South Carolina sees him as kind of the leader team captain guy. However, the production wasn't there this year. I don't think the things that you were hoping he would improve on to increase his draft capital, he did not. Very low production. And there were a lot of negatives in his tape. I think that you look at what he brings to the game, it transfers to the NFL. However, I don't know. It never took that next level. He's not a bend guy. So he's in a little bit of a different category than the two previous guys that we talked about. He's not that super high-end twitched up speed guy. He ran a 4.87, which isn't bad, but he's not that burner off the edge. He is so long. Like you see this clip here, like his length, his arm length is just, he could be an NFL tackle, offensive tackle if he wanted to. His arms are so long. So I like him. He would be an edge that I would feel like we're settling for. He's much more of a three down defensive end guy. And that's why I'm kind of knocking him a little bit, because he doesn't bring that D4 type effect that you brought earlier. That's not really his game.
Right. It's just not what the 49ers are looking for. And I think as far as, you know, the long arms goes, we saw one of the plays here where he kind of, you know, wrapped his arms around a running back. And so do you feel like he's better defensively against the run than some of the other pure pass rushers?
He's more stout and he has a higher ceiling. His production against the run was a little bit suspect. I do remember him playing very, very good against the zone read. He had a really, really good feel whenever they basically leave the backside defensive end unblocked and it's, you know, the quarterback can give it or keep it around the edge. He was very, very good at that. There's a clip right there. Look, I swear, man, you're like the best show producer I've ever been around.
This is your clip, man. This is your clip from your YouTube.
I just timed it.
Which, by the way, let us know how we can. What's your YouTube channel so everyone could go and subscribe to you?
Yeah, you just type in John Chapman. You'll see my goofy red cheek face show up, or 49ers Rush. Either one of those to get you there. And you know, we're trying to put out a lot of content. That's kind of our goal, whether it's, and you know, what we want to do at the 49ers Rush podcast is educate fans in a positive way. We're not the clickbait people. That's not who we are. We want to educate people through film. I'm a former coach, and the idea is whenever you understand what's going on with the schemes and all those things, you have a much better time whenever you watch the game. So that's kind of what we try to do or strive to do. So yeah, John Chapman or 49ers Rush Podcast. You can find us on YouTube.
Absolutely. And yeah, he does breakdowns pretty often. So make sure you're subscribed to his YouTube for all that good pre-draft content. But moving on to our next player here. And this is actually one of my favorites. And we're going to switch it over to defensive tackle for a bit. Ooh. Thomas Booker from Stanford. I tweeted like a couple of days ago that he just feels like a John Lynch draft crush, and he just has all the makings of it, right? And John Lynch did attend Stanford's pro day, as he, you know, does every year. That's like his tradition as an alumni. But Thomas Booker, he was also a standout at the Shrine Bowl, and he seems to be a riser the more, you know, leading up to the draft. I just keep hearing his name more and more, and people have nothing but good things to say about him. The 49ers have met with him in the pre-draft process. And to me, like, he's very versatile. He's mostly at defensive tackle, but I've seen him line up on the edge too. So it's nice to know that he brings that versatility. He's very quick off the snap. He's disruptive. Again, like, he's a defensive tackle, so he's not going to bring you, you know, that pass rushing ability that we've been talking about. But if the 49ers are looking for another defensive tackle, he's one of my favorites. And what are your thoughts on him?
Well, you know, the 49ers do this thing called the gold helmet whenever they're looking through their draft prospects. And a gold helmet guy is, you know, somebody with great leadership, great character on and off the field, and fit kind of the scheme that they want. Talanoa Hufanga was a gold helmet guy, just like to put that into perspective. They don't give it out to a lot of people, but Thomas Booker is going to be one of those. And this dude got offered to Yale, lots of different Ivy League school. He chose Stanford, back-to-back years, team captain. I mean, what's not to like about all the off-the-field character stuff? I mean, it's, and why do draft prospects fail? You know, we focus so much on the film, that, and that's my thing. But a lot of times players fail because of stuff outside of, you know, Alden Smith, whatever, you know, Reuben Foster. You can look at those things. Those are the reasons why so many of these draft prospects don't pan out. So with somebody like Thomas Booker, who I think will be a day three prospect, You know, could go probably as early as the fourth round, but probably going to be a fifth to sixth round prospect. He's got so many traits that you like. You know, 6'3", 301, which is very, very similar. He's a little bit lighter than DJ Jones by about 15 pounds, but the metrics are there. My player comp for him was Gerald McCoy light. That's kind of what I thought. Now, he does guess at the snap count a little too often. And so if he times up the snap perfectly, then he's disruptive. However, if he misses the snap count, then he's a little bit behind and kind of gets neutralized a little too often. So that's one of the small things that I saw in his game that kind of bothered me, but I liked way more than I thought were negative. He's a fun guy.
Now, Melissa here had a comment. She says she's super sour on defensive tackle from Stanford because of Solomon Thomas. And I mean, a lot of 49er fans are going to say that, right? Everyone thinks Solomon Thomas right away. We know how that went with the 49ers. What would be your response to anyone who maybe has second thoughts on Thomas Booker because of that?
Yeah, it's hard. A lot of times in the scouting community, you want to grade players based on their helmets or the uniforms, and they're all different people. And so I get it. I understand that. It's a completely different – it's a different guy that played a different position. Even though they're defensive tackles, they didn't play the same role. So, yeah, I get the Solomon Thomas thing. And I would say, yeah, I wouldn't hold it against him. But it is funny. But here's what's interesting. The last two guys we talked about, Stanford, the most players ever drafted by the 49ers is Stanford. The second most is South Carolina, who we just finished talking about as well. So it's interesting. Maybe our school or our team, the 49ers, they like to scout. They like to go with coaches they can trust. And again, this goes back to Reuben Foster.
Yes.
They felt that they were lied to and deceived by Nick Saban in Alabama. They don't go there very much anymore. Even when they went to the Mac Jones Pro Day, they didn't talk to Saban one time. Like, Kyle Shanahan gets a chip on his shoulder. And whenever they have coaches that they can trust, like Arizona State with Herm Edwards, who's best friends with John Lynch, like Stanford, like South Carolina, they go back to those wells because it removes some of the question marks that you don't get with other programs.
Absolutely. And like for Stanford especially, I mean, you have that extra intel, right? Like, is just right across the way. We know that John Lynch has a very good relationship with David Shaw. And so the trust is definitely there between those two. And yeah, you're right. That could absolutely be something and is definitely notable. Thomas Booker, he had 68 pressures, 11 sacks, and 85 run stops during his college career. And you bring up something interesting, which was like if he's able to time the snap, you know, he's a little bit better, although you mentioned that he's sometimes not as good at that. I will say, so the reason that, he got on my radar, Brett Coleman, he has a great YouTube channel. And he, I think it was like, he had a list of the five best players of this draft you haven't heard about yet, which is funny. Cause now, you know, a lot of people have heard about, Thomas Booker, but back then, maybe not as many. But one thing he said about Thomas Booker really stood out to me. He said he might be one of the smartest players in this entire draft class at any position.
Yeah.
And I actually have a clip because he interviewed him. I think it was at the it might have been at the Shrine Bowl. I don't know, but I'll pull that video up really quick. And because I thought it was funny because Thomas Booker actually talks about like timing the snap and how certain quarterbacks are very good at, you know, tricking players, and they have it down where they'll be looking and they'll snap it as they're looking away from the, you know, center. But so I'll pull that clip up.
But yeah, the big thing for him was a lot of times like
your battles.
Mm-hmm. No, it's crazy. It's like little stuff like that that gets you. And, you know, I try to implement that sort of stuff in my game in terms of like, one thing I really liked running was like the tech stunt, except not from a three technique, from a two eye. And the reason why that was so deadly and like I wanted to run that like during today's practice is because, you know, as a guard, when you have an immediate inside threat as like a two eye, you're looking down at that and naturally your first step is going to be down. So for me, like, that's one of my strengths is my ability to change direction and, like,
I was going to say, that's a long way to go from that alignment.
Yes. But for me, like, again, if I sell it with my eyes and I don't look out at all pre-snap and it looks like I'm rushing that A gap, as soon as I, like, plant off of this right foot and I'm out of there,
yeah,
the B gap is huge. Because not only am I already over there, but he's stepping down.
Yeah.
So it widens everything out. So, like, even if that.
So you get the point. He's a very, like, you could tell he's a very, you know, smart football guy, and his football IQ is really high. And so, again, like, I just think not just his play, but also the fact that he has a high football IQ, John Lynch just must be head over heels for him, I would imagine.
Yeah, the fact that he can go on for that long about, you know, where he wants to line up and his favorite stunt, the fact just that the he details, thinks about yeah. it and processes mm-hmm. all of these things, that's huge, because a lot of players don't have that. A lot of players don't have that type of mentality. So, yeah, fun watch, fun guy, easy to root for. He's going to be a locker room favorite and a fan favorite wherever he goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Will, we still have some time, so I'm going to kick it back to some more edge rushers. And I wanted to ask you about USC Drake Jackson. And one notable thing about Drake Jackson is that Ron Carthen, the director of player personnel for the 49ers, he was actually at USC Pro Day. You know, make of that what you will, but maybe they're interested in someone like Drake Jackson, right? So what do you think about him and how he would fit for the 49ers? To me, he's very raw.
Very raw. I put in my notes, I put the best combination of size and flexibility in this class. However, it did not translate to good production or elite production. He didn't run the 40. And so that's another one of those issues as well. But whenever you look at what he is able to do, if you just splice up one clip of him and you watch it and you just go, whoo, okay. It's like a 270-pound Gumby guy. Like we talk about, like, ankle flexibility and all those things. He has it with elite size. So his ceiling is a lot higher than almost everybody else we've talked about so far, even Ebiketie, because – he can be a little bit of everything. This could be a three-down starter with upside. This could be a bend edge rusher off the edge opposite of Nick Bosa. This could be kind of a Cameron Jordan do-it-all defensive end if he hits. Now, what is it that stopped him from being as successful as his body and his traits suggest? That's what you've got to find out. It's a mystery whenever I watched his film, like, because I wanted to have him lower based off of his metrics and all those different things or whatever else. But whenever I watch his film, I'm just like, man, he's so close. Like that, he's mm-hmm. so close to being great. Can he get there? That's the question.
Yeah, the thing for me when I saw him, like, yeah, the fact that he's raw jumps out. And obviously with that comes some inconsistencies. I saw at times, like, it didn't always look like he had a plan for – you know, each snap, sometimes he would just go for it. And to me, it was kind of obvious. Whereas, like, I feel like with over time, you know, you work on those moves and you have signature moves that you have an arsenal of moves that you can go to. Whereas I think he is still working on, you know, building that out. But you mentioned it, he has the athleticism, as we saw on his RAS chart, 25 tackles for loss, 12.5 sacks, and 26 starts. That's pretty impressive in itself. And as we mentioned, that's with him being raw and not, mm-hmm. you know, he hasn't really put it all together yet. So, I mean, yes, the 49ers want someone, I would say, immediately to be an impactful edge opposite Bosa, but I also feel like they have Chris Kocurich, who can turn anyone into someone, yeah. right? Like, so I feel like that might be a fun project for them. And so I wonder if that's someone that they have their eye on because of that.
It just makes too much sense. It really, really does. So when you're drafting at 61, you're getting guys that are falling for a reason, right? And so why is this guy going to fall? He hasn't put it together yet. So it's going to take somebody that's going to have to mold him. And as a positional coach, I can tell you, Chris Cusari, he's sitting there saying, please, 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 please.
Well, where do you think Drake Jackson falls to? Like, I feel like 61 might be too early for him, although you never know. There might be a team that's like betting on, you know, just the physical traits that he has or athleticism or his potential, right? But where do you see him going?
So whenever I'm grading a prospect, I ask myself several questions. But one, what type of teams would like him? What type of teams will not like this guy? I don't think there's one out of 32 teams that will take him off their board because he could play in a 3-4. He could play in a 4-3. Didn't have character issues. So having said that, I think, again, this is a top 50 player back end for me. This is like around that 50 range. So because it's a premium position, because he has all the height, weight, all those things, he checks all those boxes. So I think, again, maybe the latest that he could fall is top of the third round, and that's being generous.
Okay. So to answer your question, Melissa, we're probably looking at day two, you know, which I think the 49ers could do, because one thing with some of these moves that they've made to build up their depth, especially at edge, I think it's kind of bought them the, you know, affordance to be able to wait a little longer. Like, they don't have to feel like they need to go edge at 61. Correct. I feel like they could go best player available. And so who knows, maybe they go the pick after that, which I think is like 90 something or
93, I believe.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe that's something that they can look at. We got one more player to look at. Look at all that green. I know you've talked about him as well. I don't know if you've done a breakdown on him, but I believe I've seen you like talk about him on Twitter. And you might have to help me out. How do you pronounce his name? Because I would say
Boye Mafe, I believe. Boye Mafe.
You see what I mean? You see what I mean, John? I just butcher names. That's what I do.
He's fun. And this guy, his athletic profile, you look at this, he's been that way for a while. You go back to high school, he was an all-state football player, basketball, and track. The dude did it all. He ran 11.4 in the 100, which is pretty dang good for a defensive end. He jumped 6'7 in the high jump, like explosion. You don't see green like this on the raw score chart very, very often, and it translates to on the field. I really, really, really like this kid. And this is the problem with this class. It's so deep at edge. But it's one of the most premier positions in the NFL, and they always get jacked up. They always fly up the draft boards. So with this guy, I have him, you know, my player comp is a faster Ziggy Ansah, who is fit in this scheme as well. He is just so quick. Freak athlete. Size is great. 6'4", 261. He ran a 4.5. Like, he's got it. My main issue was against elite competition, he struggled. A lot of his sack production in different games was against lower competition. So that's one of the question marks that I have. But so I went to one of those games. I think I watched him, the Minnesota versus Ohio State game, I believe. One of the games I watched, and I did a breakdown on. He was winning reps. He just wasn't getting to the quarterback. So it's not as much as a concern. Sack production is always a question mark because it's not a good predictive manner for how efficient a player is or how successful a player it is. But it's kind of the metric that we do hold him to, which is kind of a bad thing. So he gets lots of pressures. He wins lots of one-on-one reps. He's got the speed. He's got the bend. He might be one of the most athletic people I've ever graded. Like, he's that off the charts.
Wow. Yeah. I remember like a couple months ago, I kept seeing his name pop up as, you know, someone the 49ers should target. I kept seeing him in a lot of mock drafts from 49er fans, you know, people picking him at 61. And lately I feel like I haven't heard his name as much. So I'm like, you know, what, What's this about? Like, is he going to be, do you think he'll be available at 61 or even later than that?
I think 61. And I think all these guys, again, he could go earlier, but I think all, and what he is, he's kind of a, I don't want to say watered down. I think he's a better athlete than Ebiketie, but I think that Ebiketie's a better edge rusher, if that makes sense. So he's a better athlete, and if anybody that's going after Ebiketie, you could settle for Boye Mafe. Now, having said that, Mafe might go sooner just because some team will put athletic traits measurables ahead of what they see on film. So every team's going to be a little different in that that area. But I think Boye Mafe has a very real opportunity to be there at 61.
Yeah, that's true. We'll see how it shakes out. And you mentioned, you know, he's able to get a lot of pressures. He had 57 pressures in since 2020, which ranked sixth among Big Ten edges. He had a 89.9 pass rush grade that ranked sixth, and 13 sacks. He was tied for second among the Big Ten edges. So, you know, he has a pretty good body of work, I would say, that goes along with his freak athleticism. So,
And I'll say this, he's already graduated college. He's working on his MBA in sports and fitness. So, like, again, another guy that you check the box off of: mature, hardworking, determined. Just, again, another box to check that you don't have to worry about with this guy.
Right, definitely. Melissa has another question for us. How would you compare him to guys that we've recently just so we can compare him to Bosa, Hurst, Key, Givens, Hyder, Streetford, etc.?
I would put him in the Arden Key area, but he's not as long. He actually gets docked a little bit because he has shorter arms. Key had much longer arms, so he's faster and much more twitched up. And so I would say that, but you know, Arden Key was much more of a natural pass rusher, Mafe is more of a projection because of his physical freak type status that he has. You can see it, but only in glimpses.
Yeah. All right. And Melissa has asked a couple questions as well, so I'm trying to get to those.
Melissa's the best, man.
Yeah, I know. All. She's bringing it. All right, Melissa, you did ask, who do you see on our offensive line we have, and who do you like in the draft? I will just say that I do plan to have another episode specifically for offensive line, and I'm trying to get Brad in for that one.
Nobody better than Brad for O-line work.
Yeah, exactly. He's our resident OL expert. But, John, I'll let you answer just, you know, someone that you like in the draft.
My draft crush this year, Creed Humphrey was my guy last year that I just like. I wanted Trey Lance, which we got, and I'm very, very thankful for, and then Creed Humphrey in the second. And we passed on him, which hurt, but that's okay. That's okay. Banks is going to be okay. I would say Dylan Parham. He is one of my favorite guys in this draft that can play literally all five positions, but I think center is probably where he's going to be because he is a little underside, but some of the best lateral movement for a center that I've graded in quite a while. So that's one of my favorite guys to watch.
She said that you never, she is who she trusts because you never steer her wrong.
Hey, I love it. I love it.
That we love that. She also, she said Creed Humphrey, she mentioned like you're the reason that she fell in love with Creed Humphrey. We kind of answer this question with the Parham hybrid IOL this year that can play both guard and center.
There's a lot of guys in this. Yeah, there's a lot of guys in this draft that are much more versatile. They're seeing the paychecks because if you're a guard, like you're not going to get paid near as much. If you're a center, all right, that's like an extra $5 million a year on your contract if you're at the top of your game. So they're starting to get much more versatile with that, which I like. There is a deep O-line class. It's a deep draft. There's not a lot of like top-tier studs. The 49ers maybe played this out perfectly because this is the lowest. I only have 14 first-round grades in this draft. It's one of the lowest I've ever had. However, I have over 40 second-round grades. It's a deep, deep draft. So that kind of whenever you get to picks kind of 50 to 75, you're going to be getting studs that you typically don't get, some projected starters that you typically don't get in most drafts.
Yeah. For center, I love Cam Jurgens.
Everybody, yeah, he's awesome. Fun.
He's awesome. He definitely, I think, fits what the 49ers want to do. But before we get you out of here, John, I just want to ask really quickly, do you have any defensive line sleepers in this draft Ooh. That you think, you know, we should know about?
Ooh, I like that. Man, there are a lot of guys that I really, really like in this class. You know, one of them that I'll throw out there, and I'm a Longhorn, Hook'em, plays at one of my least favorite schools, Texas A&M. Michael Clemens, who the 49ers met with, I believe. Is that right? I think they did.
He's not on my list, but
I think I saw
maybe
something
I need
that
to double
met.
Check something. And
but yeah, I like him a lot. He's one of those high end guys that you can get later. And he's got all the athletic profile that I like. But again, this is somebody that can go in the sixth round. Usually edge rushers aren't productive at that stage, but I want high energy, high motor guys late, because if they don't win initially, if you get a coverage sack, things like that, I think those are important. I think Kerry Hyder learned that, and that's why he came back to the 49ers in such a cheap deal, because some players like Kerry Hyder, the motor is how they will win. And I just think he'd be a good fit with the 49ers. Michael Clemens out of A&M.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to check him out now that you said that. All right. Mine, no one asked, and
oh, we gotta
no
have
one,
it.
No
we
one
gotta
should ask, it. But, and I will preface this by saying that, you know, I try to watch as much people as I can, but I am not like yourself and others who, you know, just grind a bunch of tape on these prospects. I have my favorites. Usually it's like, you know, the second round guys, third round guys that I watch a lot, but came across Kevin Atkins, Fresno State defensive tackle, and you know, he looked pretty good to me. I think he's one of those like run stuffing defensive tackles that I think the 49ers could look for, especially if it's not something they want to go for early, right? I mean, which wouldn't really make a ton of sense if they don't get Thomas Booker. I like Kevin Atkins. I think that'd be pretty nice. And he is met with the 49ers.
I haven't watched him. I haven't studied him yet. So I got to get on my homework. Thank you, Steph. I love it.
What was interesting is he had met with the 49ers, but he wasn't invited to the local pro day. So I don't know what that means, but you know, just something notable. Maybe they aren't too interested in him. But anyway, before we get you out of here, John, plug your YouTube, your socials, for us. We'll follow you, subscribe.
Yeah, John Chapman, 49ers Rush Podcast. Twitter is probably where I'm most active, probably too active, at JL underscore Chapman. That's the place to follow me and interact with all those things. But yeah, come check out the YouTube. We're putting up lots of film. We're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And yeah, if you're going to Vegas for the draft, man, or if you know anybody that's a Niners fan going to the draft, tell them to head to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Awesome, awesome. Really quickly, Melissa has one more question. Ooh. Bosa, Hurst, or Key, who could you see having a bigger year?
Well, I mean, you got to go Bosa. I think Hurst is going to be a back-end guy that I really, really like his upside. Key, I'm glad he got paid. Wish him the best of luck. But yeah, Bosa, you're talking defensive player of the year candidate again after what he did last year. And if Kinlaw steps up, it's only going to help Bosa a lot, a lot.
Absolutely. Oh, I definitely agree. But John, thank you so much for being on today. This was awesome. I really enjoyed, you know, going through all these prospects, and hopefully the 49ers get one of these or just one of the top guys for edge rusher, and you know, we'll see who they get. But thank you so much for coming on, and yeah, subscribe to all his platforms, and see you next week. Peace.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.